Welcome to Tell Me About It on WUFT 89.1 and 90.1. I'm Sue Wagner here today with a person from the Dial Center for Communications and Speech, or is it actually Speech and Communications?
It's the Dial Center for Speech and Communication Studies.
There you go, and it's Emily Ryan Butler.
Yes.
She is the director and an instructional professor here at the University of Florida. I quite frankly had never heard of the Dial Center, and as she's been enlightening me with all of the different programs they have, you know, communication is a problem for so many people, and it sounds like the Dial Center is the solution. So tell us a little bit about the Dial Center and what exactly you offer and what are you teaching?
So the Dial Center is, I'd like to believe, the best kept secret at UF.
It is.
I know, right? Your sentiment is it's a common one. We are not a traditional department in the way people think of typical departments. We are communication studies. We're housed within the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences. And so the communication studies minor is run through us. As compared to our counterparts in the College of Journalism and Communication, where you have mass comm, you have advertising, and PR, we focus more on interpersonal communication. We teach public speaking, which is how most people, if they do know us, they know us from that. We center mostly interpersonal relationships. So we teach classes in interpersonal communication, small group communication. I teach a course in language and power, so intercultural communication. All of these different things are run through us. We also run the university's public speaking lab.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So that is on the fifth floor of Rolfe's Hall, and it's available. It's a free service, like any student success, much like the writing studio, where students and faculty and staff actually can come in and through appointment or through walk-in, they can get help working through ideas for any type of speech, or if they want to practice a presentation, or just kind of get a little bit more with their skills to practice, they can come into the public speaking lab. So we run that. We also have a number of student groups. Another thing that we are known for is we are the home of the Speech and Debate Society. So UF's Speech and Debate Team.
Yeah.
Yes. UF Speech and Debate Team is one of the oldest student groups on campus, and we are lucky enough to have them. They are phenomenal. We are lucky to be able to kind of foster the development of their ability to do speech and oratory, as well as debate. We do a parliamentary debate style. We also have an ambassador leadership program where students learn to develop their communication skills and become part of representing us. So it's a thing where they look at leadership communication, and then we have also taken over, this is going to be our third year, where we are the main sponsor of TEDxUF.
Oh, excellent.
Yes.
That's a wonderful program. We
yes.
just had one of our professors on back in, I believe, the last one you did in June, I think.
April was the big one here. Yes.
Yeah.
So one of our faculty, Michael Harmon, he is the license holder, and I had been trying to get TEDx. I had thought of them as a natural home with us because of our love of storytelling and public speech. So this is our third year kind of overseeing TEDxUF.
Wow, that's excellent. And that's it's pretty outstanding. I've listened to some of the recordings from there, and it's really amazing that you've taken on this great task.
Well, honestly, that's a credit to the students. It is almost completely student-run. We do a lot of the coaching. We do a lot of speaker coaching and helping with things as they get closer, but that is a primarily student-run organization. We try to keep our hands off it and watch them develop those skills around picking the speakers, helping them do the writing. And we have some ways in which we're trying to plan where we can do a little bit more with coaching, because that's really what we're good at. But honestly, that is a credit to the TEDx student team.
So is communication studies something you might major in if you wanted to go into politics or go into some kind of public speaking type career?
Oh, God bless. I wish we had a major. I've been trying to get a major for ages. I will be on that pulpit. Right now, we're a minor. But my party line with this, I say this all the time, communication studies is the little black dress of minors. It goes with everything. There is not a major at this university in which you should not be considering doing a comm studies minor. The skills are the most in-demand skills for anybody in any profession. becoming expressive, being able to assert yourself, to be able to express yourself effectively, are skills in any profession that somebody needs. And the communication studies minor is a really good, effective way to get a smattering of what all of those tools in your toolkit could be. You know, we have certain core courses, you know, beyond public speaking, which is what people think about us for, interpersonal communication, listening, you know, intercultural, argumentation. These are all foundational to becoming an effective speaker in anything. So we really, really have, and we have been it, traditionally in the past, one of the largest minors within the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences.
Wow. So you have a team of professors that are helping you with these courses?
Yes. So much like a traditional department made up of faculty, we are, I like to say, tiny but mighty because we are scrappy. There are about 10 of us.
You're a great interview. You were afraid to do this. I'm telling you, you're saying all the cool things, man.
That's right.
You're communicating
well.
I'm going to put on
a teacher like tiny but mighty. We're scrappy, I think, because we believe, this is going to sound so Pollyanna, but we believe in the mission in the sense of we get excited about helping people just achieve what they want to get better. We like people fundamentally. I feel like in some ways you fundamentally have to like people. It's not necessarily cool to like people, but we genuinely like people and working with people. So yes, we have a team of faculty, like any department, who specialize in everything from, again, argumentation to interpersonal. I'm actually trained as an applied linguist. That's what my PhD is in.
So what does that mean exactly?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. I get to geek out about it. So as an applied linguist, it's somebody who is trained in traditional linguistics, but towards the application of problems in real life. So my expertise is in language and social interaction. I do a lot with conversation analysis, and much like people talk about discourse analysis or argumentation, my jam is the oral communication factor. I'm really interested in the weird little quirks about turn-taking and the social dynamics that happen when two people talk, right? How do you know, you know, what to say, or how do people react when you have a asymmetrical power relationship? What are the ways in which people create or establish things like ethnicity or gender or social class? How does that happen with language? How do you establish membership or just interacting to show somebody you're vibing with them in interaction? There's so much in how we do things linguistically. In how we do turn-taking, how we do pausing, and that is really interesting to me, to teach people about how people use language to interact in the world.
I think people don't really think about all that's involved in being a really good communicator.
Yes, and I'm interested in the minutiae of how do you know? I mean, I'm fascinated by this, and so I teach this in language and social interaction. We take for granted the fact that everyday conversation, just, you know, not interviews, just every day, I see you in Starbucks. That's very, very complex, interactionally. The idea of how do you know when you don't know somebody, or even you do know somebody, what to say, when to say it, how do you know when to jump into a conversation? These all happen within hundredths of a second, the idea of turn-taking. It's fascinating. We do most of it without thinking about it. And so how do you become better at it? How do you understand the dynamics that are at play when you're doing something? And then what are the external factors that are at play?
Wow. We're going to get more into this. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and find out more about Dial Center events and other things that people in the community as well as the university community can participate in. So we'll be right back. Welcome back to Tell Me About It on WUFT 89.1 and 90.1. I'm Sue Wagner here today with Emily Ryan Butler. She is the director and instructional professor for the William and Gray Style Center for Speech and Communication Studies at UF. It helps to prepare students, faculty, and staff with the communication skills necessary to share ideas, convey information, and interact with others effectively in social and professional environments. And Emily has been charming us with her interpersonal communication skills. Hills. And tell us a little bit more about the Dial Center. You indicated that it's the 30th anniversary coming up.
Yes, 2026 is the 30th anniversary of the Dial Center. The Dial Center was founded by Joan Dial Ruffier, who was actually the first female Board of Regents in the state of Florida.
Okay.
She founded it for her parents, who William and Grace. And William was a prominent businessman. He came from humble beginnings. And she loved how good at communication, how much he knew communication was important. He was one of the founding members of what became SunTrust Bank, which is now Truist. And he was very, very instrumental in bringing the interstate through Orlando. That is one of his claims to fame. But they started this to be able to make sure that Florida sons and daughters have access to public speaking, communication skills. And this is the 30th anniversary of the many iterations that the Dial Center has gone through since its founding.
Wow, that's amazing. And so have you been with the center for very long?
This is it's going to be the beginning of my 12th year. When we came to UF, I came to the Dial Center and then am affiliate faculty in linguistics. But at the time, we were the William Grace Dial Center for Written and Oral Communication. And this harkens back to many years prior when the writing program, university writing program, was also part of the Dial Center. And then that kind of split off probably about, I want to say 15 years ago, 16 years ago. And now they're kind of separate. And we've sort of morphed a little bit more into the speech and communication, really focus on that and the skill sets of the faculty. I became director. This is going to be my fifth year as director of the Dial Center. And I just kind of fell in love with how interdisciplinary communication studies was. But because we're so much of a secret, one of the big things I've been pushing since I became director is just letting people know that we're there and that we have all of these really cool things that we do and that we offer, and letting people know about the, you know, services we offer, the classes we teach, because we are really excited about it.
And you said that you have some events planned and you've done some other cool events in the past.
Yes. We have kind of the events we do every year. So some of the really cool events we do is twice a year, we do this event called Hope Speeches. I love this event. We take a physical soapbox out into Plaza of Americas, and we tell students, not just students, but really anybody can walk by, is we offer a moment of, I don't even want to say levity, just a space for people to get up and put out something to the universe that is positive or that they're thinking about, whether they want to practice a speech or they just want to talk about something good that's happening in their lives. And this was in reaction to the fact that there's so much negativity in the air and rhetoric has just gotten so, so polarizing. So we thought, you know, since we teach public speaking, let's put up a space where people can just go up and say something positive. And we started this. My colleague, our director of public speaking, Dr. Dennis McCarty, came up with this idea, and we go out now. It's been so popular that we've gone to twice a year. And students, I mean, when I'm talking students, I mean like 80 to 100 students will come up.
Really? Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we'll be there for a couple hours, and they'll get up on that soapbox, and it can be anything from, hey, I'm a student in this lab. We're coming up with a new cool hybrid version of strawberry to make it taste better, to, hey, I was super depressed and I met new friends in this dorm, to, you know, it just runs the gamut of things that people want to talk about. And offering that space to show that public speaking in any form, it doesn't have to be terrifying. It can be positive. It can be life affirming. It can just be getting up there and putting something out into the world for a few seconds. I feel like I'm in a John Mayer song. but that's one of the events that we do that we're really proud of. We also do a public speakers forum where we teach about 2,000 students a year that come through the public speaking program, and the instructors nominate students who are the best at their persuasive speeches, which is towards it, to compete in a forum in which they audition with their public speech, and we nominate it, or we whittle it down to maybe 5 students who have done public speaking. And there's a competition, and they give their persuasive speech in front of it. We bring in judges from the community and professors, and they compete to become the top public speaking persuasive student at the University of Florida. We do that every spring. Maybe next time you will grace us with being a judge.
Well, there you go. You can just see Glenn Richards helping out,
Glenn loving that too.
We talked about the soapbox thing. I could just see Glenn up there. He would be, he's not only Morning Edition host, but he's a great orator as well.
Oh, well.
As he's laughing in the control room.
Well, we would love to see Glenn for the Hope Speeches. I'll let you guys know when we do the fall one.
Happy to promote it as well. Just
please
let us know.
Oh, well, thank you, friend. Yeah. I appreciate you. We're going to be doing for the 30th anniversary of the Dial Center, we're actually going to be hosting a national tournament, a persuasive speaking tournament, next April. The International Oratory Association hosts their annual persuasive speaking tournament. It's a boutique prestige tournament in persuasive speaking. It goes back all the way to like times of William Henry Harrison. And in this tournament, two top speech students who from around the country, two from every state, the two top persuasive speaking students, are invited to come to this competition and do their persuasive speech, and it goes on over 2 days, to name the top persuasive speaking student in the country. They get selected through the state speech tournament. So FIFA, I want to say FIFA because my kids play soccer, FIFA, which is the Florida State Tournament for Forensics, gives their top two spots in persuasive speaking for speech, which is in the spring. And we have actually had the representative, University of Florida, our speech team for the last several years, has been the representatives from the state of Florida. But we're actually hosting the tournament. It's never been done here before, and that's going to be in April. And so that is going to be one of our big showcases of some of the things that we're great at. We will also be having, in the early stages of planning, what I'm hoping to be a speaker series next fall around the concept of eloquentia perfecta, which is originally it's a pillar of the Jesuit education tradition. Whether or not of where it comes from, it's in some ways neither here nor there, but the idea is about perfect eloquence, and not in a pretentious type of way, but the idea that to be an effective speaker, you need to be audience-driven and using your talents for the public good. And everything around this concept of developing your skills as a communicator is driven towards your idea to give something back that is full of integrity. And I'm really interested in the idea of what eloquentia perfecta means in a secular institution in the 21st century. So I'm trying to, in the very early stages, bring together panels of scholars and maybe a speaker next fall to highlight that this concept is very much central to how we go about things in the Dial Center.
This is really amazing. We're getting close to our time limit here, but please tell people where they could find out more information about the Dial Center. Like, what is the web address?
So I believe the web address is class.dialcenter.edu, but Uncle Google can help them with that. But they can find us in Rolfe's Hall, which is behind Turlington and across from Pew, right on Stadium Road. The public speaking lab is on the fifth floor of Rolfe's Hall, and the Dial Center offices are on the fourth floor of Rolfe's Hall.
And it's all part of the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences.
And it is all part of the great College of Liberal Arts and Sciences at UF.
Well, Emily Ryan Butler, you have communicated quite well. We know more than we did before, and we'd like to have you back.
Oh, well, I would come back at any time, if only for the NPR totes that are awaiting me.
There you go. We've got it. We've got it covered. Don't worry. Thanks again.
Thanks.
That was Dr. Emily Ryan Butler from the UF Dial Center for Speech and Communication Studies on today's episode of Tell Me About It. To listen to previous episodes of the show, go online at wuft.org/tellmeaboutit or on the WUFT media app. I'm Sue Wagner on Tell Me About It on WUFT.